I'm George Eister, recently retired from the College of Veterinary Medicine, Department of Small Animal Clinical Science, and I've got the privilege today of interviewing Dr. Janver Krable, also retired recently from Michigan State. He was first in the Small Animal Department, then Pathology, and more recently, Associate Dean and Acting Dean of the College.
Well, thank you, Dr. Eister. This is a real privilege and opportunity I've been looking forward to, and am particularly pleased to do it with you since you arrived at Michigan State just a year or two before I did, and we've been good friends and colleagues for the last 42 years during our time here together.
Janver, what brought you to Michigan State?
Well, I think it was mostly a stroke of good fortune. I had been in private practice for a couple of years and then went to the service, spent 2 years on Guam, and on returning to the U.S., I thought it was important that I go back to a college and get caught up on some of the newer clinical and surgical techniques. I was really interested in going to Colorado State, but they didn't have any funding, and there was an opening here at Michigan State, and so I came here for an interview, met a friend, a classmate from Kansas State, and then a former professor from Kansas State University, where I graduated from veterinary school. It looked very attractive. I received a job offer and accepted it with the intent of only being here for 2 years, but it turned out to be 42 years and a pleasure all during that time.
You've started out as a farm boy in Kansas. How did that background influence you to become a veterinarian?
Well, I enjoyed growing up on a farm, and I particularly enjoyed seeing the veterinarian come to care for our animals. And when we had a cow with milk fever, he came, the cow was down, she looked like she was near death. He gave her a bottle of fluids and kind of slapped her on the rump, and she stood up and walked over to the manger and ate hay. And I thought that was just an absolute miracle, and I thought that's something I would really like to do. And so my parents were supportive and assisted me, and I had the unique privilege of going to Kansas State to veterinary school, and so my dreams were realized.
You started out in the small animal department and then moved over to pathology. Why'd you make that change?
Well, I enjoyed private practice, and I really appreciated the opportunity to work in clinical medicine in the small animal medicine and surgery department. While I was in that department, Dr. Wallach Keller became the chairperson of the department, and he was developing a specialty in ophthalmology. And he asked me to help him with that. And so I did, but as I worked with animals who had eye problems and removed tumors and occasionally an eye, there really wasn't anybody in the Department of Pathology that knew a great deal about ophthalmic pathology. And Dr. Shermer, who was the lead internist in the department and who was basically my mentor during the first couple of years here at MSU, encouraged me to take a course in what was called Advanced Histopathology under Dr. Robert Langham. This was a pretty intense year-long course, and it basically taught graduate students how to read slides microscopically. And I learned a great deal and enjoyed it. Well, when I started removing tumors and material from dogs and cats with ocular lesions, I began to read the slides with some of the pathologists, and they encouraged me to go ahead and try to develop that as a subspecialty if I was interested. And so it was kind of a natural move to pathology. Dr. Ken Cahey served as a mentor as well, and he assisted me in applying for an NIH fellowship, which provided me funding to pursue a PhD in pathology. And so I proceeded with that. So it was, I think, a sequence of fortuitous events. I enjoyed small animal medicine and surgery. I also enjoyed pathology, and that turned out to be my long-term career.
I know at one time you considered switching to the College of Human Medicine, the MD degree. And in fact, I know you were accepted in the medical school. Tell me why you stayed with vet med.
Well, I enjoyed veterinary medicine, and my interest in human medicine was kind of kindled in just simply the broad aspects of the allied health professions. I was starting a PhD in pathology, and it occurred to me that I would probably complete that course of study in less time than it would take to go to medical school. And I would continue to work in a field that I was very comfortable with. My wife and I struggled with this over about 3 months, because I think the letter of acceptance came in May, and in August I withdrew from the class and felt that that was the right thing to do, and certainly in retrospect it was. I've enjoyed veterinary medicine immensely, but have made a number of friends and colleagues in human medicine as well. So maybe I've had a little of both worlds.
And what was the pathology department like when you moved over there?
When I came to Michigan State, the Department of Pathology had a reputation as a pretty tough unit. But by the same token, it had a reputation of having some very fine faculty, wonderful expertise. And I think to a certain extent, maybe pathology was kind of the crown jewel of departments for the College of Veterinary Medicine. There were some wonderful people in that department, leaders in pathology, both nationally and internationally. And Dr. Cleon Morrill was the department chair. He was a pretty serious gentleman, but he was a wonderful writer. He was an outstanding writer and literary critic. And I don't think a paper ever left the department that Dr. Morrill didn't review first, because of his insistence that anything that came from the department had to withstand a high level of rigor and excellence before it left campus. Dr. Robert Langham was certainly a legend in veterinary pathology. In fact, he's affectionately known as the father of veterinary pathology at MSU. He was a gentleman who originally came to Michigan State as a student in the College of Agriculture. And after completing that degree, he was kind of interested in pathology, but he was also interested in veterinary medicine. And he was given an opportunity to complete his DVM. And then I think Dr. Ward Giltner, who was dean at the time, suggested that he stay on for advanced training in pathology. And he was a gentleman. He had high standards, but he was very careful with graduate students who didn't know quite as much as they thought they might. And so he was tactful in pointing out that there were options to consider in interpreting tissue. But those two gentlemen really made that department one of high standing. It had high respect across campus, but nationally and internationally as well.
It's my impression that the pathology department here at MSU was probably, if not the premier veterinary pathology department in the country, certainly one of the premier programs.
Yes, it did have a great reputation, and it I think it's important to recognize that both Dr. Langham and the subsequent department chair after Dr. Morrill retired, Dr. Bob Leader, were part of the founding members of the American College of Veterinary Pathologists, which is the first specialty college that was formed and certified by the American Veterinary Medical Association. They had a great reputation, and that's why I think they were part of the founding fathers group. They had great respect, They had a cadre of faculty in the department who worked very hard and who contributed, I think, a great deal to veterinary pathology over the years.
As the time progressed, the medical school was developed here at Michigan State, and the Department of Pathology was fused with the pathology and the medical school as one department. Could you tell us about those times?
Well, as I recall, the College of Human Medicine had only been on campus, had been founded, I think, 4 years before I came. And it was my understanding that one of the strengths of founding that college at MSU was the science department, were the science departments in the College of Veterinary Medicine. Certainly pathology was one of those. And they used that then in establishing the Human Medical College, strong science departments in the College of Veterinary Medicine. So the basic sciences were shared. The Department of Pathology included both veterinarians and physicians. The same applied in physiology, in pharmacology, and in microbiology. And so that was the core science base for how CHM was established. And it added strength, I think, to the subsequent establishment of the College of Osteopathic Medicine on this campus.
You served with a number of deans in both the College of Human and Veterinary Medicine. Could you tell us about something, a little about these gentlemen?
Well, I had the privilege of serving under six deans at Michigan State University in the College of Veterinary Medicine, and they were unique individuals, all had strengths, and it was a pleasure to work with them. Dean Armistead was dean when I arrived, and Dean Armistead was probably the stateliest and most professional man I ever met. He was very bright. He was a phenomenal speaker. He was articulate. He had an amazing memory, and he served as dean of three different veterinary colleges in the United States. Texas A&M, he then came to Michigan State and left Michigan State to establish and found a veterinary college at the University of Tennessee. So he was a very impressive figure, I enjoyed getting to know him. Dean Charlie Reed served as the associate dean for several years under Dean Armistead and then subsequently served as dean after he left. And Dr. Reed was a particular favorite of mine in that I was trying to establish a teaching laboratory for clinical pathology, and he stopped me one day and asked me how it was coming and asked if I needed anything. And I told him that I really wanted a multi-headed microscope because that would help us teach more efficiently and effectively graduate students and even professional students. And so he asked what it would cost, and I told him, and he said, send me a proposal, and sure enough, he funded it. So that was a real pleasure, and it helped, I think, start a teaching laboratory in clinical pathology, of which there have been many graduates who have served as leaders in clinical pathology and veterinary clinical pathology across the United States. Dr. John Welser became dean after Dean Reed, and Dr. Welser was a perhaps a non-traditional sort of dean. He was a lot of fun. He worked hard, and he often had ideas outside the box. But he had a good following, and Jack Breslin stated that John Welser was the right person at the right time for CVM-MSU. And I think he was correct. Our college was in need of some renovation and of facilities. I think there were some accreditation issues that surfaced. And Dean Welser really took this on full force, was instrumental in establishing the funding for a new building and a major renovation of the teaching hospital. And so to his credit, he really picked us up and moved us to another level with respect not only to accreditation, but I think prestige across the United States. I think it was during Dean Welser's time that our residency and internship programs were established, and he was very supportive of this idea of helping young people develop specialities that they could use within the profession and throughout their careers. Dean Wally Keller was the Associate Dean for Academic Programs, and after Dean Welser left, Dr. Keller served in an interim capacity, and he asked me to serve as Academic Dean during that interim. And that was a good experience, certainly a learning experience for me, but it was a time when Dr. Keller, again, who was a very savvy administrator and politician, helped to move some things forward for the college in an interim time when usually interim people are not asked to develop new programs, but rather are in a hand-holding mode. Wally Keller was not that way, and he worked hard, and he was the entire faculty, and I think there were many people across campus that appreciated Wally's expertise, his sense of integrity, and what needed to be done for the College of Veterinary Medicine. Dean Keller was followed by Dean Jack Tasker, who was a clinical pathologist. And we got along very well because that was my area of interest. He led the colleges through the 1980s, which were very difficult financial time, not unlike what we're experiencing right now in the 28 to 2011 period. He had to deal with some major budget cuts, as did many administrators across campus. Obviously, those are difficult times, and one has to make difficult decisions. So he had to deal with that. He, too, was an excellent writer, and he really made my day when he asked me to critique a paper that he had written. He was an editor of a journal, and he also co-edited a number of the pathology and clinical pathology association journals. The next dean in line was Dr. Lonnie King. Dr. King came from the USDA, where he headed up that governmental program, and he was a most interesting dean to work with. I enjoyed that immensely, in that he was probably one of the greatest broad overarching thinkers that I've had the privilege to work with. I don't think I ever went into his office, but what he didn't have an idea about a question that I might have and maybe one or two options to consider in how to deal with that. He was very active. He was truly a workaholic, and he was a speaker who was on demand nationally and internationally for the 10 years that he was here. He represented our profession, he represented our college and Michigan State University very, very positively. And it was, as I say, a privilege to work with him. Yes.
He was kind of a national guy, wasn't he?
Absolutely. And I think his role at USDA brought that out because he did a lot of international travel. And, of course, running the Department of Agriculture, the Food Inspection Service, and the Animal Division gave him a lot of visibility, not just in the United States, but worldwide as well.
And that also brought a lot of visibility to Michigan State with him as our dean.
Absolutely. Wherever he went, he was introduced as the dean of the College of Veterinary Medicine at Michigan State University. And that gave us, I think, a tremendous amount of positive visibility. He was truly a class act, and does a wonderful job in his presentations. He does an enormous amount of background work for any presentation he gives. And so I think that people appreciated his effort, appreciated his integrity, and the extent to which he tried to represent every issue from all perspectives. The present dean is Dean Brown, and I had the privilege of working with him for 2 years. My job those last 2 years was to establish a division of international programs for the college, and I think that went very well. And to Dean Brown's credit, he had a lot of experience in Europe and Asia, had spent considerable time in India in working with veterinarians there. He was a graduate of Liverpool from the United Kingdom, and of course had, I think, that international perspective that has helped our college as well. He was very helpful to me in starting programs in Europe and Africa and Asia. He was well-traveled, and of course his knowledge and experience added a real dimension, I think, to our college.
You served as acting dean for, I think, 6 months or so. Can you tell us how that experience affected you and your feelings about that?
Well, the first six-month period was with for Dean Tasker when he was on sabbatical. And that was kind of a tough time because we were just moving into a new building. And so it was my responsibility to meet with university administrators. And the one meeting I'll never forget was a meeting with the Space Utilization Committee. This is a university committee including several vice presidents, the provost, the space czar for MSU. It was a tough meeting because they were basically asking me to move all the people that were housed in Fee Hall into the new building, and there simply was not space. And that was really, really tough, and I was getting beaten up pretty badly. And John Cantlin, vice president for research, came to bat for me, and he said, "You know, folks, if there isn't space for all these people, I don't think that we should force this issue, but get Vet Med a little more time to move into the new building, see what's available, and let them develop the needs that they have." And I thank John on more than one occasion about that, and every time I see him, I think about it. But that was a wonderful opportunity in getting to know other deans across campus, particularly in the College of Human Medicine and in the College of Osteopathic Medicine and in the College of Nursing. And so these allied health professions, I think, during the time that Dean King was serving, really banded and bonded together, and we accomplished, I think, some good things during those times as a group of allied health colleges.
I personally want to thank you. During that period of time, we were in the process of attempting to fill the chair, the Wade Brinker chair, the first chair in that, at Michigan at the veterinary school at Michigan State University. And you were instrumental, if not the pivotal person, in getting Steve Aronofsky to fill that chair in Small Animal. Can you enlighten me a little on that?
Well, that was a fun time. Dr. Aronofsky was known to me only by name until he came for that interview. And as we visited, I was really impressed with what his goals were, and I thought that those fit pretty well with what we wanted to do in CVM at MSU. But it also became apparent to me that he was a bit discouraged with the interview and was considering not coming at all. And so at one point in our discussion, I said, "Dr. Aronofsky, let's take a walk." And his biggest concern, and I think reluctance to come, was the quality of the research laboratories that might be available to him. And there was one laboratory that was not quite completed that had been assigned tentatively to the diagnostic laboratory, but that had not been finalized. So I took him to that laboratory, showed it to him, and asked him if this was what he was looking for. And he said, "Oh, yes." He said, "This is terrific." I said, "If I can make this available for you, will you come?" And he hesitated a little bit, and he said, "Yeah." He said, "I'd come." So with that, we proceeded to do some negotiations within the college, we were successful in attracting him to MSU. And he's been a tremendous asset to us. And here, too, he has a national and international reputation that brings very positive visibility, not only to the College of Veterinary Medicine, but to the university as well.
You've been in charge of the college curriculum as the associate dean of the curriculum, and instrumental in making changes or working with the curriculum. Can you tell us how that has what you've done and how that has changed over the years?
Well, I think probably the biggest change that not only veterinary medicine has experienced, but perhaps every field, is the tremendous volume of information that's available to us now. And so this is not unique to veterinary medicine, and it's a difficult challenge to work with, because basically you have to deal with what should and what should not be taught or what cannot be taught in a limited time frame. And I think that the biggest trend and change in education that I've seen is that there's less emphasis on memorization of facts. It's just not realistic to think that students can learn all that we know about all of the subject material in our given fields. I think that another change that has occurred, particularly the last decade, is the focus on outcomes assessment and the principles of teaching concepts and problem solving. I think that these help students in the long run become the lifelong learners because they're able to deal with new and changing information over their entire careers. One of the things that I really enjoyed was working with representatives from CHM, COM, and the College of Nursing in helping establish the Learning and Assessment Center. And this involved basically talking about and setting goals in what we might do to help our students learn better and learn faster and retain more. So with that, we appealed to the provost, who provided us some money to renovate the sixth floor of Fee Hall. This gave us an opportunity to construct examination rooms, simulation laboratories, conference center, and seminar rooms, such that students from all four of these colleges could spend time in simulated patient interactions in those rooms, be observed, have an opportunity to look at how they performed, and basically learn from that. So I think that this put us on the map, again, nationally and internationally, as four allied health professional schools working together for a common cause, particularly in the area of more effective learning.
It's my opinion and impression that our veterinary technology program is the premier program in the country. You have been extremely efficient and a supporter and involved in making this happen. Tell me about that program.
When I came to MSU in 1966, there was a discussion about a veterinary technology program. And that was started in the late 60s. I don't remember the exact year. It might have been 68 or 69. And it was done so with a lot of mixed reaction from the veterinary profession. But there were a number of people that included Harold Knirk, Walt Collins. Don Sawyer was involved initially, along with Arnie Powles. And basically, they started a program that evolved from a Department of Laboratory Animal Medicine in the late 60s. And it caught on pretty well within our college. The faculty were supportive. And from that, there was an interest at Purdue University in doing something similar. So MSU and Purdue were the first programs in veterinary technology affiliated with a veterinary school that were established and accredited by the certifying body at AVMA. There was some struggle with this at first, but I was fortunate in that with the clinical pathology teaching laboratory that I had, I was given another FTE in Ms. Helen Davidson, who was assigned to us with a half-time commitment to teach veterinary clinical pathology to veterinary students, and the other half was to teach laboratory medicine to veterinary technology students. So I became quite familiar with what was being taught and how it was being taught. And the biggest frustration was that this program was not in our college. It was in the College of Agriculture. It was a tech program that did not receive full college credit for the courses the students took. And I thought that was really unfortunate. And so when I became Associate Dean for Academic Programs in 1989, that was one of my first challenges. And so I met with the folks in ag, and at that point in time, they were considering maybe terminating the program. And so I suggested that maybe we transfer it to CVM and continue it, and we would be administratively responsible. So that worked out, and at the same time, we applied to the University Curriculum Committee to establish this as a bona fide major at MSU and to give the students full credit for the courses they took. So that worked pretty smoothly, and we subsequently then set up a relationship with LCC whereby we could work with some of the students from that junior college that were interested in veterinary technology, and it's just expanded, and it really is a pioneer program across the United States, and again, the first program accredited by AVMA. But we are proud of the program, and our colleges are in demand.
Tell us about the veterinary technology students, our graduates, and as their relationship to the profession today.
Well, the graduates consider veterinary technology a profession in and of itself, but they also understand and appreciate that they are a part of the veterinary profession as well. And it's interesting you should bring that up, because at the AVMA, we're presently looking at an option where veterinary technologists would be associate members of the AVMA. And so they feel a very strong kindred spirit with veterinarians. They are a part of health care delivery teams at veterinary clinics, veterinary hospitals, and veterinary colleges all across the country. They also play a major role in a lot of research institutes and in industry as well. So they're a strong profession that is growing, and we feel that veterinary medicine and veterinary technology need to walk hand in hand in care, in providing care and services for animals.
As a clinician with those veterinary technicians, some would call nurses, I can attest to the unbelievably professional level that they attain and the skills that they have. They've saved me many times with their assistance and bailing me out. Since you retired, I know you've been very active with the American Veterinary Medical Association, the AVMA. Could you tell us what you're doing and perhaps give us some insight into how that interacts with the Michigan State University?
Well, I feel very privileged to have been elected to serve as the executive board member who represents the 5th District of the American Veterinary Medical Association. That district includes Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, and West Virginia. And I am one of 15 board members, and I am the only academician on that board. I'm privileged, I think, to represent not only the College of Veterinary Medicine at MSU, but also the College of Veterinary Medicine at Ohio State. And so these two institutions are ones that I continue to interact with. We're addressing a number of concerns right now within the profession, but the one that I think links closest to academe is the NAVMEC initiative, which is the North American Veterinary Medical Education Consortium. This is a compilation of about 400-plus participants who met at three national meetings during the year 2010 to really address the status of veterinary education, some of the challenges and expectations that society has of the profession. And it was the first time, I think, ever that we've had a coalition of academe, of the licensing bodies in the states, and in the accrediting agencies that accredit veterinary colleges. And so we, after the completion of those three meetings, we wrote a draft report, which has been shared in the last 6-8 months with as many groups as we could meet with. And in a couple of weeks, I'll be going to Washington to finalize that report. But it will really be kind of a roadmap to the educational future for veterinary medicine as we look at the next 2 or 3 decades. So that's been a pleasure to work with. The members of the executive board at AVMA look to me to represent the perspective of academe, and certainly Michigan State carries a lot of clout, and I don't hesitate to tell them about Spartan Green and White at all of the meetings.
So what else are you doing in your retirement?
Well, I enjoy raising sheep. We got some sheep for some Suffolk ewes for our children when they were in 4-H, and they showed lambs and made some money at the county fair. Well, the children are long gone, but I've still got the sheep, and I think it's a lot less expensive and more fun to raise sheep than to pay a psychiatrist.
You and I are both faculty members here at Michigan State University that did not go to veterinary school here. And yet we have a combined time of almost, must be 95 years at Michigan State. What does MSU mean to you?
Well, it's where I've spent almost all of my career, and I've enjoyed it immensely. I first came to this campus when I was a student delegate from Kansas State University to meet with the other students from the other veterinary schools on campus and then go to Detroit for the National AVMA Veterinary Convention. I had no idea that I would spend most of my life on this campus at that time, but I was impressed with it then. I was impressed with it when I arrived, while my original intent was to be here for 2 years, I decided I would stay, and I was invited to go to other institutions on two different occasions, and each time my wife and I decided, no, we like it at Michigan State, let's stay here. And those have always been good decisions. I think the camaraderie, I think the strength of the veterinary college and of the university includes the faculty, the staff, and the students. There's just a wonderful rapport of people who are highly committed to each other, to the students, to education, and it just makes it a wonderfully warm environment to work in, and I'm awfully glad we've had the privilege and the opportunity to be here as long as we have.
Thank you, Dr. Crable. I really appreciate you filling us in on the your insights and opinions and your rather unique time in administration here at Michigan State University College of Veterinary Medicine.
Thank you for this opportunity to visit with you.